Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Here is Dr. Vincent Medici, and I have three letters for you. DNA. Today we're going to go into deoxyribonucleic acid. Big word, but we're going to get it down to its simple component parts, and then we're going to put it into your health equation, because that's what we do. We take science, no frills, no gimmicks, no upsells, no upgrades, no nonsense, and we get straight down to how hard science can translate into your daily health regime. DNA. You can't say you haven't heard of it because you all got it in the seventh grade. Because in 1953, Watson and Crick, two 20-year-old biochemists from England, discovered the double helix, the double helical structure of DNA. That's one of two discoveries this century that rocked the world. And yet it meant nothing to you for many, 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 many years. Only Einstein, in 1905, with his theory of relativity, hit more popular heights. And those are the two theories, not theories. Those are the two, well, they were theories then, but those are the two insights into science, into the nature of everyday experience that have rocked the world in this last century. 20th, I'm referring to now, the one we just came out of. You had Einstein in 1905, Watson and Crick in 1953. Today we understand Watson and Crick and the beginning of an era, starting with understanding that DNA, its molecule is a helix. It's a spiral staircase interwoven with another spiral staircase. So you don't have to know a lot about science. You only have to know what a spiral staircase looks like. Because if you take one, if you take a spiral staircase and you intertwine it with another spiral staircase, you understand the structure of the DNA molecule. Now, in retrospect, it's all easy back then to put that structure together. Well, the best minds in science were working on it. And these two young upstarts from England got there first. Actually, if you read their literature, one of the reasons Watson and Crick got there first, if you're into that scientific stuff like I am, is because after every lab session, they'd go out and they'd go from professor to professor to professor, and they'd kind of like take everybody else's information, and then they'd go to the bar at night. And they'd sit in the pub, and they'd drink, and they'd talk, and they'd joke, and they kind of integrate what everybody else was doing, from Rosalind Frankel to Linus Pauling to just about everybody that was trying to get the DNA molecule studied and understood in terms of its structure. And Rosalind Frankel and Linus Pauling were close, but Watson and Crick got there first, probably because they integrated what everybody else thought and then provided their own spark of genius. Well, it didn't mean a lot in 1953, but today when we say forensic testing, PCR testing, when we talk about solving the crime puzzle because the perpetrator leaves a hair on the floor, when we talk about testing in utero, genetic testing to see that the baby's going to be okay, or in the future determining what diseases you're likely to get based on your genetic predisposition. When we dig up skeletons from 30, 40, 50,000 years ago, and we take their bones, and we study their bone structure under a microscope and we see what rotted out their bone, we can take the DNA fragments of their rotted bones and figure out what disease the person died of. We can determine how much arthritis, tuberculosis, syphilis, all sorts of diseases that occurred 30, 40, 50,000 years ago. We can see how much of it was around then. We can trace the entire evolution of disease in mankind as far back as we can find their bones. All because of Watson and Crick. The chromosome, the gene, the DNA molecule, it's got relevance. We're going to be cloning. We are cloning. We're genetically engineering drugs, better drugs. Antibiotics are just the past now. We're genetically engineering food, food in the high sense to make that food better. Now, we may not be doing that. There may be repercussions from it, but there's no getting around it. The application of that 1953 discovery, from that to mapping the human genome, that application has riveted the world. You cannot escape how it affects you every single day. The question I pose to you, the reason you listen to this show, the reason you tell your friends about this show, is because you have a sense that somehow, somewhere, someplace, there's a relationship to science and God. That there's a wisdom, there's a divine wisdom present in nature. That there's a connection between the intelligence of your cell and your soul. So there really should be a connection between that 1953 discovery and, as it relates to this show, natural healing. Watson and Crick and everything we understand about genetics and the genome is not at odds with natural health. It's put there by those same people, those scientists, those entrepreneurs, to further holistic medicine. So we don't have to talk about Watson and Crick and DNA simply as some high science that's on some level immoral, or some high science that doesn't relate to natural health. There's a hookup between the two. That's what we're going to get into today, the hookup between DNA and you in your pursuit for radiant health, in your pursuit to free yourself of chronic symptomology, freedom from disease. What do we have to learn from Watson and Crick? Little high school science, got to do it. I'll make it simple. It's why you like the show. I get it down to something simple. So first, the chromosome. The chromosome. Chromosomal defects. We all learn it in high school. Very simple. I want you to think of a string of beads. A 6-inch string of beads. Very simple. If you're driving, you can visualize in your mind a 6-inch string of beads. That string has lots of individual beads. It's on a string. I just want you to take another string of beads and make an X with it. So crisscross the two strings of beads. That's a chromosome. That chromosome lives in the guts of your cell. That chromosome, that X-shaped string of beads, is in the nucleus of your cell. Done. There's all of high school genetics in one sentence. An X-shaped string of beads. Now, each of those beads is a gene. Yes, as in genetics, as in trigger. You trigger one of those beads on that string. You trigger it the wrong way. You express it the wrong way, and you have big problems. At the same time, another one of those beads on that string has to express those beads on that string. Each of those beads are genes. Those genes tell the cell what to do. And those genes may trigger when you don't want them to trigger. They may trigger or express or tell the cell what to do when they're supposed to, and then they can't turn themselves off. or those genes may work with perfect regulation. Those genes, those beads on that string, may work when they're supposed to work and not work when they're not supposed to work. This has everything to do with health. Everything. Watch what I do with this. We're going to spin this, as always, into something enormous relevant to you. Whether you're radiantly healthy, terribly sick, or just playing with symptoms that won't go away. Those beads on the string express, they don't express. They don't express and they're supposed to express. They express and they're not supposed to express. They're regulated. By what? Well, that's what the show's about. Genetic expression of those beads on that string. Now, if you take a bead, which is a gene, and you microscope the gene, you study it more closely, you're going to see that double helix. Those genes are long, 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 miles long, sequences of spiral staircases. And when we say DNA, which is what those genes are made up of, is single-stranded, we mean it's just the helix, just the single spiral staircase. But DNA really is a single spiral staircase intertwined with another spiral staircase, and that's a double helical structure, which, as we unravel a gene, we might find the string of DNA goes 50, 100, 200 miles. Some unbelievably, insanely long distance is this unwound DNA. And you hear these things, little fun facts in science. If you take the length of the spiral staircase in the bead, which is the gene, and you unravel it, it'll go on for miles. All true. Now, what's relevant about this? Well, that spiral staircase is made of component parts called nucleotides. Adenine, guanine, cytosine, thymine, in the case of RNA, uracil. Nucleotides, that's a word some of you are familiar with. And that string of DNA is a component of a sequence of nucleotides. And that sequence of nucleotides, guanine, adenine, thymine, cytosine, is bonded to the other spiral staircase. And that spiral staircase is another string of nucleotides. So adenine bonds to guanine, cytosine bonds to thymine, and the two are tandem. They're along each other like a ladder, but it's a twisted ladder because it's a double helix. And that sequence is one nucleotide after another, after another, after another, and each one is bonded across the way to another nucleotide in this twisted ladder that we call the double helix. You got it. I know you got it. You can see that in your head. That's all you got to see. If you can't see it, get on the website, straighttalk.cc. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, straighttalk.cc. Go on the website, into the top tabs, into the radio literature section. And Kerry, my wonderful webmaster, has put great pictures. If you can't do that, go into Google, go images in Google, and go to DNA. And you'll see hundreds of pictures of exactly what I'm talking about. You don't need me for the pictures or the data. You need me to string it together. That's what I do. I string it together. I think with it. And I encourage you to think with it. I interpret with it, and I encourage you to interpret with it. I ask you to be interactive with it. So this double helical sequencing, now here's the loop, is specific to the person. It's specific to the species. It's specific to the virus. All viruses, all bacterias, all parasites, all organs, all people, all animals, all living things.